This is Unlock Your Soul podcast, a platform where we get to scratch and reveal what really makes us human. Let's talk father wounds and being loved out of depression. When you really think you've seen it all, you've had it all, you've experienced it all, you have not, I promise you, have not experienced anything close to what I did when I got to hear Rick Spoit speak. Wow, welcome to another session of Unlock Your Soul, Unturn Your Soul. And there's a lot of noise here because there's me, there's Ricks. Ricks is very chill.
Calm, chill guy.
Yeah. Then there's Wango, there's Kaveke, there's Sage. So you can imagine the noise that is in this place here. But anyway, thank you for joining us. I'm with someone who's very, very intentional about how he carries himself and about his masculinity, about his, you know, his vulnerabilities. Someone who I really highly respect, because in another world, I'd be as comfortable in my own skin as he is. People already think I'm like crazy or whatever, but I feel he's really, really gone full circle to find the man that he is. I'm talking about the very indomitable Rick Spoit. Today I have to use big words because you're from the lakeside.
Hey, why not?
So I have to sound like, hey, like, wow.
Very nice.
So all this is not extemporaneous. This is... Is it extemporaneous or spontaneous? That one.
What is that one?
To mean that it was not unplanned. It was very planned.
Spontaneous.
Yeah, Sage is just there silently judging me. Please, just, guys... So Rick Spoit,
yeah.
First, I think I know you as a poet, because I think I remember seeing you, you know, those days of Akina Odor, what's his name?
Jagero.
Odor, those,
yes.
Days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
those days of, you know, doing poetry and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I only knew you as a poet,
yeah,
until I sort of began to interact with you online.
Yeah.
And you would just, first and foremost, you love violence.
A bit.
You love violence. Now if you're listening to this in the diaspora, violence in Kenya basically means, I don't know, he's a violent man. No, violence basically means that he loves to push the envelope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before we go back to your journey of how you started off, who is Rick Spoit? I mean, it's one of the most difficult questions to ask anyone is, who are you? Who are you?
I'm a lover of tea and music.
Yeah, we've realized you love tea, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, and sex.
Yeah.
And art.
Yeah.
And poetry.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah.
And nature.
Yes.
I mean, I'm all those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you introduce yourself like that, I mean, people, a lot of people will be like, what? He says the lover of what? Everyone, yeah. Everyone will only hear the part for lover of sex.
Yeah.
When you say you're a lover of sex, please define what that means. And here, with regard to sex and our... sex and sexuality, you know, our lack of understanding of what sex is and the fact that it's such a taboo, yet we are all here as a result of sex.
Well, first of all, Anto, Africans are very sensual people.
Yeah.
We've always been sensual people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, life began here,
mm-hmm,
first of all,
mm-hmm,
right? And we've always been very expressive human beings,
yeah,
but that was just curtailed out of us because,
yes,
of the social disruptions that happened here,
yes,
for like 1,000 years.
Right? Yeah.
When I talk about sex, I talk about fucking,
yeah,
I talk about talking about sex, I,
yes,
talk about imagining sex, I talk,
yes,
about writing about sex,
yes,
and the politics around that.
Mm-hmm.
So because I feel, I was having tea with a friend the other day and she was telling me it's incredible how we have sex but we don't have information about it.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of confusion around this thing called pleasure and, yeah, desire, first,
yeah,
of all, because it carries a lot of shame,
mm-hmm,
and it's a good thing,
mm-hmm,
you know? Our bodies yearn for it, call out for it, but then we are afraid because our culture says this, mm-hmm, religion says that,
mm-hmm,
our parents says this,
mm-hmm,
the priest somewhere says that.
Yeah.
And for me, I just got to a place in my life and I was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to live my life.
Exactly,
so I'll,
yeah,
go for the things I like. And I, yeah, like fucking, so I'm going to do it.
What is your experience with sex in terms of like, when did you know like you know, how to touch a woman, how to express yourself, how to, you know, get her ready. Like, in a whole week, you're talking to her, you know, what's happening her. And until, because I've been going through your content, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, for me, it's the things that you're not saying that I am seeing.
Yeah.
It's the how to be central, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It's how to appreciate the love of your life. Even if it's just a one night stand, it's enjoying the moment and being there and being present
in
that moment.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to relationships, I would think that we would be more open to, with these things when it comes to relationships. Because at the end of the day, sex glues people together. When did you get to a place of such confidence? You know, cause, and also I see a lot of girls asking you to sleep with them. I don't know what your CV is out here. But it's coming off like you're very, very good at what you do. Well, so I don't know what's happening.
My mother told me, whatever you do, put your whole heart into it. I listened to my mother.
Oh my God, you're a good listener.
So, man.
But also your mom complains. Well, not really complains, she's worried.
Yeah.
She's worried that you know, either you have a lot of talk about sex.
Yeah.
Or she's worried that, you know, I think your mother is okay with you being you.
Yeah.
But I feel she's worried that people don't understand you. That if they come at you, they troll you. She feels bad. It's like, that's my son. I don't like when people troll him. And she's not going out for this information. Because I know moms, she's probably receiving, oh, leo ame tukana rik. So, leo ame. So, how does that make you feel sometimes?
That happens to my mom and many of my friends.
Yeah.
People always on their cases, like, oh, this friend of yours, now it's your son. What is he doing today? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think, when I think, for example, like in now, because it's a religious country, somebody like Jesus was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
And he had people, relatives around him.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of pressure that this sibling of ours, this child of ours, this friend of ours is bringing a lot of trouble around us. So people sort of pressurize them, like, mtuenu
akwaje. Yeah, exactly.
But then at the end of the day, those people love me.
Mm.
And that's what matters to me. Mm-hmm. Like, they love me and they understand. So I know sometimes, even yesterday I was just on call with somebody who was like, people are on my case, you know, I'm a Christian and they can't,
why you doing
they
this?
Can't understand why I'm your friend because these are the kind of videos you put online and all that stuff. So why are you pretending, whatever. Why are you his friend even and all that.
And these videos is just you dancing in a boxer.
Yeah.
What I think every man does. Yeah. Before they leave the house, you know, you have your boxer, you look at yourself, you realize, hey, I look good, I've been gymming, or hey, I need to cut some whatever here.
Yeah.
But you put it on video, and then the whole world just decides to descend. Because to be honest, now I've been going through your stuff. I even recently followed you, and I was like, now why are people angry?
I know.
They're mad because he's dancing in a boxer.
I know.
Like, why is this? Why are we like that, though? What is our. Is it. You know, something reeks. When growing up, and even till today I realize it, we don't like, when we watch telenovelas, when we watch, we do not like, our parents would feel ashamed if there was a scene of, and I realized it was about race, of two black people kissing on TV. Because when you watch telenovelas, still today, they allow, like, you know, Spanish telenovelas, they kiss on screen.
Yeah.
But when black people do it, it makes us really feel weird and yuckish about ourselves.
Yeah.
Is it self-hate?
It is.
What is it?
We are very anti-black, and it is very deeply seated in our almost like in our bodies now. I don't know if you've heard of a James Baldwin before.
Yes. Oh, I love James Baldwin.
Yeah. So James Baldwin, in a conversation in 1971, he was talking to Nikki Giovanni.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful things James said was, if the world does something to you and it does it long and well enough, you start doing it to yourself. You start collaborating with your murderers because you believe in what they believe in.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
So this thing of looking at somebody who looks at you and you hating them because you hate yourself is a construct. It's not reality.
Yeah.
It's a construct that went on for so long and then it was passed down generations.
Yeah.
So now, because these things like homosexuality were demonized, men expressing themselves was demonized, domination, like the man having to be the person on top was pedestalized and all that stuff.
Yeah.
we are very confused about our identity. Yeah. We don't even know who we are anymore as Africans because of the many disruptions that we've gone through.
Yeah.
So you find that because you've never seen this thing, the moment you interact with it, you fight it first, you know? I grew up around dancing men in my shags.
Yeah.
My paternal side of the family, as crazy as they were, they loved music so much. Me, I saw my uncles, they were very young that time. And there's a type of ohanglan too.
Yes.
See, akina Tony Nyadundo ya sahi.
Yes, yeah.
Kuna ile, sasa the way reggae grew from roots.
Exactly,
kuna ohangla sahi.
Not the OG.
Where?
The 19 minutes,
that
one chorus.
Almost sounded like I'm a piano now.
Wow.
Yeah, they had very heavy drums and the percussion. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So me and my uncles were rigorous with their bodies and all that. And then now we listened to lots of Lingala music. And in Lingala music,
it's all about the hip, man.
Man.
It's all about
and the men were doing their thing.
Yeah.
And so me, like my dad used to do this thing. He'd put me on our living room table and he'd tell me to dance for him.
Yeah.
So there was a general music from Congo called Sukus, right?
Yeah.
So I was listening to Yondo Sister, Alus Mabele, Lord Rest in Peace. And those were my heroes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to be like those guys. So I've been dancing for so long.
Yeah.
And some weirdo on Twitter
this is wrong.
Hey,
this guy is bewitched.
But it's also because, you and I grew up in that era where Lingala music was played a lot.
Like a lot.
Here.
A lot.
You know?
Yeah.
But then towards 2002, 2003, now things started changing.
Exactly.
Kidogo. Yeah. Now, we were playing a lot of Kenyan music, of course. And Kina Nameless were coming up. And Kina Kalamashaka and everybody.
Yeah.
But then it moved Kidogo now to Niger and all that. You see? So, yes, the older generation are still tied to rumba and all that.
Yeah.
But then Lingala music stopped playing as it was on Kenyan TV.
Mm-hmm.
The way Kina MCM were doing it, STV were doing it,
exactly,
KTN, Kaskas were doing it, all that stuff, you see. So that exposure also changed, you know. And the younger generation, my brother didn't grow up now.
Not
watching.
At all.
My sister has no idea what's going on.
The type of trap music.
Yeah. You know,
and other inklings.
So they've not seen that. You see, for me, it's very different. I'm still connected to it because that forms part of my identity.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not looking for attention per se. I am simply enjoying my life.
Yeah, but also the idea that you have to constantly explain yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know.
I mean, do you know how many videos there are online of people dancing in boxers?
Yeah.
But then, like you said, they pick you. There must be something. You see, if the older generation would say there must be something wrong. There's a reason why they're trolling you.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I see it as there must be something so innately unique about you that if they take away that flame, you probably will never know how far US jigs can go if you allow them to take it away from you. Because they are nice, you'll see, and you say, am I doing too much? Am I too crazy? But if you allow them to take that voice, you will probably not achieve the things that you want to achieve.
Well, because it's beyond the music.
Yeah.
The identity is beyond the music.
Mm-hmm.
The things I've gone through in my life, what I've had to process to become who I am today, nobody can take that away from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the dance is actually an expression of my freedom.
Mm.
It's an expression of my identity.
Yeah.
It's an expression of my joy. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's beyond me shaking my ass.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I'm telling you, by the way, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm here. You are going to see me.
Exactly.
And I exist.
And I exist.
Yeah.
There's a guru I was watching. I'll look at something on Instagram. He says that you only begin to experience true freedom when you dance. When you dance and the
Osho,
energy,
Osho.
It's actually Osho. Yeah. So the energy and the vibration, and you lose, and you're one with the world. But then you lose yourself, but you find yourself in that moment.
Yeah.
Because when you're stuck here right now, you wonder how people viewing me.
Yeah.
How do I look like?
Yeah.
Am I? But when you dance, you don't even care.
Yeah.
You literally do not care what people are thinking, and you're in your highest possible vibration.
Yeah.
Let's go back to when you were in your lowest vibration. I know that you've been loved out of depression. I have seen you and your friends, you know, and how you cherish your male friendships. But also, for me, because I've never wanted to read it from people or read it from blogs and whatever. I mean, you have a very interesting relationship. I hear you name drop your dad when you talk about like Lingala, but also you have a very difficult relationship with your father. What happened that sort of broke Ricks as a kid? What happened?
Oh man, a lot of crazy things happened. Crazy things happened. Ish. A lot of crazy things happened. So my dad and mom, they married really early. Like, my dad got me when he was 23. My mom was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom got me after losing her first child. So she probably lost her child at 19.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just off high school. They were very young people. Yeah. 85 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so my dad came from a really big family. And my mom, my dad's mom, my grandma, was the last of three wives.
Wow.
They had like 30 kids. Wow. Uko,
nyumbani. Yeah, yeah.
The village was a city, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was competition for attention, a lot of child neglect, and then coming with the poverty.
Yeah, poverty.
And
yeah.
Then grandpa struggled with alcoholism. Mm. He was an incredibly violent person as well. So my father definitely grew up with a lot of trauma, and that's what he just transferred home.
Yeah.
Right? And so he was violent from very early on, as I remember, 6-7 years old, towards my mother. I remember incidences when me and mom had to get away from home from him.
Wow.
And then we like stay at my auntie's, and then we are coming back, and then that was just the, you know, ping pong.
Yeah.
But then and then he used to beat me up like an animal.
My God.
You know, umse alikuwa amejam anakuamsha anakuokota kama mawe anakutupa kwa wall.
Gosh.
Unajua alikuwa ananikanyaga mguu, ananikanyaga kichwa na mguu yake nikaa na uanyoka.
Oh my God.
You know, so I was used to being beaten a lot, but then something happened when I was 10 years, just around 98. They were both teachers, all right? So one day he comes home, tulikuwa stay uruma your time,
okay,
in a single room somewhere. And he came home, he was coming to look for a Bill Cosby novel. Your time, Bill Cosby alikuwa...
He was the father of all black people in the world.
You know, like,
yeah.
Bill Cosby,
if you didn't have a grandfather, he was your grandfather.
Bill Cosby alikuwa, yani, the Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
So he had borrowed a novel, a Bill Cosby novel, from a student he tutored. Na nika alikuwa amemisplace kitabu.
Yeah.
So amekuja home and we had a lot of educational books. In fact, me, I hated books because of that.
It's too much.
Because ilikuwa too education. Yeah, you don't read for creativity
fun
or whatever.
Yeah.
So I hated books when I was a child.
Yeah.
So amekuja ametafuta hii book, and you know, in a single room, kaa hiyo book haiko in the four corners. It's not there. So kashetani kakamwambia aniulize kama labda ni mimi nimechukua hii kitabu.
Yeah.
Juu I'm the only child in the house going to school.
Yeah.
Si niwe unaenda shule kwa hii nyumba.
Yeah.
You know. And then he asked, like, how many women chukua your book? I'm like, I know. You know, I mean, I was fairly cheeky. Unaiba five boba hapa, umeenda kubai mutura, patko, Britannia.
So
you know.
Yeah.
But, novel? Nilikuwa classics hapo hivyo.
And you're like, my father's novel. I'm not
unajua,
I don't play those games.
Tayari boardmas imenipia stress.
Exactly, like, yeah.
No, napeleka novel wapi?
Exactly.
300 pages.
Yeah.
Where am I taking the fucking book?
What am I supposed to
you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't like books anyway. So something convinces him that I'm lying.
Wow.
Yeah. And that day, my life changed, and oh man. Like, umse akaanza kunichapa. So hiyo day, akunichapa venye alikonga na nichapa.
Yeah.
Unajua hizi kopa waya za simu, hizi waya za simu za black, hizi unaonanga
black ones.
Our mothers used to hang clothes with them.
Yeah, because it's even now they still so they're like they're double edged in the sense
Ukondani,
that
inside
they are two.
Yes.
And they are very strong.
They are very strong.
Yeah.
So my mom had rolls of them kwa balcony hapo inje. And I was a very tiny bodied kid. 10 years old, you're nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So dude gets out, he comes back with a roll of the copper wire.
Yeah.
Then he strips me off my clothes.
Oh my God.
All right. And my father used to beat you with his soul.
Yeah.
Unaona venyewe uimba na roho yako.
Budango
alikuwa anatuchapa hivyo, unajua?
God.
Like he's beating your ass up, you know?
Oh my God.
So toa kitabu. And I'm like, dude, I haven't taken this book. I start bleeding and I'm sweating and my body is coming down. And it's like 20 minutes into the thorough beating and I'm like, I have to do something today. Today now, mm-hmm. I have to lie that I took this book, yet I know I didn't.
So you're thinking, saying you took the book so he can stop.
Yeah.
Then maybe now let's find the book.
Whatever will happen, but atakuwa ameniacha, unajua.
And this beating's happening, you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
But this is one of the many, but now it's the climax.
Yes, this is the climax. This is what, like, really...
Are you feeling like this guy will kill me today?
Actually, I was thinking, like, actually, I'm dying.
Oh, my God.
Nispofanya kitu hapa leo na dedi leo. Jesus Christ. Unajua, mzayali kwa story ingine bana. So, I tell him I took the book. Then he stops, all right? Then he looks at me. He was so angry. And he says, I'll do something to you that you'll never forget.
Gosh.
So, ni transition. Ni kama bridge ya song.
It's like I'm giving you a brief.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about
so
to get real.
So, the stakes were high because, I mean, it was an expensive book. All right. According in his head.
Yeah.
It was an expensive book. It's 98.
You're a thief.
And yes,
African parents.
I tweeted that... you see the way the state right now is going around killing people and all that stuff. I told people that many of our fathers were the first people to criminalize us as boys. Budako na kutreat we ni criminal kejani. And now you just grow tougher and tougher.
Yeah.
So mzaya katoka inje, akarudi na some sisal rope as if he'd planned it all.
Yeah.
So I'm naked, I'm in the, you know, I'm like you know, kwa floor. Yeah, yeah. My mom is there helpless and all that. Then he goes into the kitchen. He comes back na jerikani ya maftata.
Eh?
Jerikani ya maftata. Na kiberiti. Yeah. So then he ties me up. All right? It's crazy. He ties me up. And then looks at me. Akafungwa hiyo jerikan. Akamwaga hiyo mafuta kwa kifuniko. Akasimia hiyo mafuta hapo. Akawasha flame. So niko na scar hapo hivi ukicheki.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
Akawasha flame. Akaweka hiyo flame hapa juu hiyo mafuta mse. So I think brain yangu ili block hiyo pain. But I've never been the same since.
This is your father.
Yeah.
Met him. Justice on you. As if you're like, you know, as if it's... Like you've stolen, I don't know, like a heart or like a kidney.
Yeah.
Like where would somebody, as all this happened, your dad is burning your fingers. I mean, he's basically threatening to show you that what I can do to you. And your mom is seated there helpless because also she's afraid of who this man is.
Yes.
When you look back, how does that make you feel? Or how do you view this guy? Or how do you view your mom? How does that scenario play out for you? You're watching it here. What's happening?
So I've processed this for the last 20 years of my life. And it's not been easy at all. Because five years after that, I was running away from home.
Yeah.
Now the traumas are now starting to show. Depression was coming through. I've been a street boy out here because home was just too unbearable for me. Narudi home somehow. Shule ilikuwa crazy. High school, it was crazy for me. And you see, the funny thing about it, I am generally a very calm person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who I've always been.
Yeah.
But then you can't know what's going on inside me if I don't express it.
Yeah.
You see, and I'm a sensitive child. I was a sensitive child, but the people around me were not aware of who I was becoming out of the violence I was a witness in and experiencing.
Yeah.
So I was very bitter throughout my teenage, coming to early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s. I was a very bitter guy because I was angry that this is what happened to me. This is what my father was. And he never saw the wrong things he would do to us.
Yeah.
You know, the impunity in which he moved with, for me, was just outrageous. You see. My mother really did the best she could with what she had to love us. In fact, she really supported my art. In fact, Miss Juika Masahange kwa Miss Juinge kwa Aje for me, you know.
Yeah.
the little she could do, she really gave it all to me. And I took that as everything because I needed it.
Have you felt, or have you always considered the fact that it was like, it was like her way of like sort of giving back to, you know, the fact that she was unable to do anything then.
Yeah.
It was like her way of like finally releasing you and, you know, sort of like allowing you to finally get your freedom.
Perhaps because at some point, because even mom was sometimes abusive to me. But then at some point there at 16, one time I'd run away from home, then wakanipata because nilipigwa mob justice hapa town. Nilikuwa na shoplift maze.
Yeah.
Hiyo nilikuwa na survive. Eh, nikapatwa mahali huko na Eva Suko Ronald Ngala, nikagongwa. Then budaka letwa nini, nikarudishwa home. After that incident, I think my mother noticed that I was struggling emotionally. Mm. Then she started being softer to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kutoka hapo atujagombana na mom.
Yeah.
Tena.
Yeah.
Even when she's a bit unhappy with me, we talk. Like,
now you know that there's a level of...
Unajua.
Have you forgiven your dad? How do you forgive someone like that?
Yeah.
How do you forgive? How do you get to a place of saying...
I usually tell people, you know, being a religious nation and most of us growing in religious homes, forgiveness is shoved down our throats.
Mm.
And I tell people, it's upon you. You don't have to forgive people, actually.
Yeah.
You do what you can with your anger. You, like, your anger is yours. Do what you
the
can.
The power to forgive is mine.
It's yours.
Don't take it away from me by telling me, forgive, yes, get on, move
77
on.
Time, whatever
these things
times.
Happen.
Nah,
yeah.
Fam, like... You can, that's actually gaslighting people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just came to a point where I realized the anger was eating me and that this guy didn't even care for me like that.
Mm.
For me to continue harboring anger for him. My life was waiting for me to live it. So he is still even not yet there because, you know, the therapy work I did made me realize that he was also acting out of his own traumas, you see. And so I understood, I just didn't excuse his violence. I understood it, but I didn't excuse it, you see. And then I started learning the thing with boundaries, that you can be there, you're my dad, but si mbaka tuonge, si must, unajua.
And if we do speak, there will be respect. There will be there will be a lot of space. Like again, there'll be more boundaries when we speak.
That emotional space.
I can't go to this point, and you can't take me to that point. And I don't have to even respond.
Yeah,
I can. You can tell me that.
And the issue is, even that he still does not respect to date.
Yeah,
and for me, I'll tell you, man, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
so we don't talk. I don't pick up his phones. I don't whatever.
So your dad is alive.
Yeah,
but is he alive to you?
No. It's my mother who reminds me
that
the nigga is alive.
Yeah.
I don't even know where he is today.
Yeah.
None of us knows where he is
but
today.
What then stops our fathers, our grandfathers, the men in our lives, from actually acknowledging the hurt that they've caused upon us? Because then we end up hurting other people in our quest for finding ourselves. So while you are busy hurting your son, you're here working on your trauma. Then you then now find yourself, now me, I'm Ricks, me, I know who what I stand for, my value system, you're all over the world talking and, you know, speaking at conferences, but you have another heartbroken child
in
the house.
Actually, it's a broken child.
Because you found yourself, so now the world should stop.
Yeah.
So why don't we acknowledge the hurt that we put on people, or just even simply the act of kindness? Just be a good person. Why is it we don't acknowledge those things?
Because it will force us to admit that we are in pain ourselves. And that's a very... And true, it's not easy. You know this. It's not easy to face yourself.
Very difficult.
It's not easy. And so a lot of those older men don't have the tools and the courage to actually say, I don't know. That I need help or they'd rather die.
Yeah.
You know. So I know where the guy is today. I know he's struggling. I know financially, emotionally, first of all, he's struggling. And people have left him because of his violence.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what to do from here.
Mm.
And it's like the world is now, and you've heard these reports where at the men are dying alone in the villages, their wives left them, their kids left them after they worked, blah, blah, blah. But if you go back many of these cases, this guy...
Yeah, when you really hear who they are, you say, "Yo, bro, now I understand where they left."
Urajua, yeah. So.
Is that why I've seen you talk about your journey? You know, in terms of saying that, you know, you want to embrace vasectomy in the sense that you don't want kids and stuff like that. Without being judgy, is that why you feel like you don't want kids? Like, I don't want to cause hurt. I don't want, you know, there's always this thing of like, you feel it's like a generational curse. You feel like I might be the kindest person, but then I might end up treating my children the same way I was treated.
Yeah.
So do you fear the same happening?
That's it's a very minimal
reason. Okay.
It's amongst why I chose or I'm choosing to.
Yeah, but then has it happened already?
I'm about to, actually.
Guys, we're gonna go with the camera. That's you. We're gonna follow him to the doctors so he gets his vasectomy.
I'm about to.
You know the thing about vasectomy, I don't know, someone should tell us somewhere in the comments or I don't know. It's a very simple procedure.
People are so afraid.
But people act like they're removing your balls. Guys, you still have balls.
It's so simple.
So please, if you have your seventh child, please go for some vasectomy, please. It's not that bad.
Well,
anyway, yeah.
The reason is I've done a lot of parenting already. I feel like I parented my parents.
Yes.
You know, because ilifika place yenye sasa ninawaongelesha wache kufight.
Yeah.
Na mimi ndo mtu hii kwa hiyo familia.
Yeah.
Unajua.
So you are never a child.
I was never a child. My childhood was.
By the way, me, I'm insisting.
Yeah.
As I digress, that I want you to dance. Riggs, you don't understand. When I saw you dancing when I seen the video,
yeah.
I don't know how much this guy doesn't know that he's reminding me of Fela.
Yeah.
He's reminding me of James Brown.
Yeah.
Just dance.
Yes.
That's all I
And those are
you.
My heroes too. The Fela Kutis of this
yes,
world.
Yes, just dance. Walking around with his boxers, people documenting his life, and all he did was he's danced.
Yeah.
He was like, even in the midst of being beaten by the GSU of Nigeria, me, I'm going to dance.
Yes.
When you're done beating me, let's go dance at the shrine.
Dance.
So that's your shrine.
Yes.
So you are a parent to your parents.
I was a parent to my parents.
Yeah.
And having to remind dad, mom, you know, we can't act like this. The family is going through blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then having to protect my siblings because I'm the firstborn.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
Two of them. Very wonderful kids.
Mm.
Being that parent they didn't have,
especially
as the father figure,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So already for my sister, for my younger brother, I had to cover up for so long to protect them from the chaos of my dad.
Mm.
And that took so long and it took away from me a lot. It took really a lot from me, you see? So that is one reason. I've already been parenting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, now I started parenting myself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Having to heal from what that trauma did to
me.
Yeah. Having to rediscover myself outside the definitions my father had given me. Oh, you're a disgrace to this family.
Yeah.
You won't amount to anything.
Yeah.
You're full of bullshit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
To now changing that to I'm beautiful.
Working on yourself.
That part
takes a long
It's out
time.
Of this world. It's out of this world.
Kwanza, let me tell you, the beatings... Not that we can forget, there's nothing good with any of that stuff. We can sometimes the scars remind us.
Yeah.
But the words.
Oh, yeah, the words remain. They
words,
remain.
They remain. Those ones, even when you go for therapy,
yes.
you now remember them. Because now you're now telling the therapist, oh my God. Now I know why I'm afraid of doing X or tuning a girl.
Yeah.
Because me, I was told, you're children. I hope you never get children. I hope I never see them close to me. Then it makes you realize, hey, let me just live on my own.
Yes.
Then you realize a lot of the who you've become is because of this. I mean, imagine your parents cursing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're basically cursing you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
crazy.
Now you have to work through all this.
Yeah.
Your journey in terms of working throughout, you know, this trauma, this hurt, this pain, these painful words and all these things, Riggs, how do you even, and I know therapy plays a huge role.
Yeah.
I can see your smile. I know why you're smiling. I know you've been loved out of depression. Your friends, I see your friends hanging around you. I see them speak. I see you guys laughing.
Yeah.
But Riggs, how do you get out of all this? Because Riggs may have gone through things, but Riggs, your story reminds me that I should be very thankful of my childhood.
Yeah.
I should never take for granted. How do you still stay so strong and happy? Why are you smiling? You should not be laughing. Please.
Well,
there's nothing to be happy about.
All of it is just a circus. Really. It was never meant for me. Mm. The violence was not meant for me. It wasn't mine. I shouldn't embody what was not meant for me.
Mm.
So when I realized that my father's chaos wasn't mine.
Oh, wow.
I let it go, fam. It wasn't mine. Me, I was born in this world. I was so innocent. I came here to play, by the way.
But here you are. If you have to take back that
power.
Yeah,
and that's the work I've had to... And it wasted a lot of my time. Because it's taken so many years of my life to take that power back.
Mm-hmm.
But now what I'm saying is... I am, you know, the part of my childhood, the after age 7, that's when the disconnection started happening. So for me, I've just gone back to 7 to continue with what was stolen from me.
Yeah.
So I loved playing, I loved football, I loved dancing, I loved my people, I loved being around people, I love community.
Yeah.
And that's who I'm always going to be.
Yeah.
So when you realize that the chaos that was meted against you wasn't yours, mm-hmm. you stop owning it,
mm-hmm.
then you go back to the original self. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm able to laugh. I'm able, and it helps that I have been sourcing out inspiration, motivation from people who came before me, mm-hmm. who also went through violence, mm-hmm. and tried to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because reading the Maya Angelous of this world, the Fela Kutis of this world, the Che Guevara's of this world, the Wangari Maathai's of this world,
yes.
my mother included, it was a validation. The Toni Morrison's of this world, it was a validation that I've not been alone mm-hmm. in this loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who've been through it, and there's a light that they sourced for inside them that they used to overcome all that pain they went through.
Yeah.
And that they came on the other side to offer light back to the people who needed it.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
But we are not so many. That's the tragedy. We are not so many.
You're in your reparations era.
Exactly.
You're taking back, but... taking back what's yours, you are finally getting, like, you know, brand new parents from all the books that you read.
Yeah.
Which also, when you mention books, I realize that you read a lot.
Yeah.
When you talk about reading, I mean, what does reading do for you? Who are some of your favorite authors?
Yeah.
And some of the lessons you learn from them.
Yeah.
Because these people went through things so that you can be able to get out.
Yeah.
And isn't such a huge irony or paradox that... that one time when you literally knew that your life was being taken away because of a book, but your solace has also become books.
Yes. So it's funny because...
And I hope you meet Bill Cosby and tell him, apart from the drama you've caused in people's lives, I nearly died because of you. Bill Cosby has been a very huge problem to people.
Man, what?
Old man.
It was just unbelievable, man. What?
Jesus.
That... Oh, man. So...
But my God. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, books. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my parents being teachers... I learned so much from them, despite the chaos.
Yeah.
They were also brilliant people.
Yeah.
And I am often very free with this juxtaposition that as much as my dad was violent mm-hmm. and my mom had her own things,
mm-hmm.
when they were brilliant, my dad is such a charismatic person. Mm-hmm. And he's a brilliant storyteller. He's taught me. So I've seen it. My mom is very, very warm person. Mm-hmm. So my father also is a very adventurous, curious human being.
Yeah.
And his value for getting to know mm-hmm. caught me,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. wanting to understand the world, what's going on mm-hmm. here, and reasoning, you know, those mm-hmm. kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I picked those things from him, you know. But then also when I was downest and I was looking for light in the places I could, it's stories from people who seemed so far away, but in books they mm-hmm. felt so near
mm-hmm.
that saved me. And documentaries about their lives, you know, artists, storytellers, poets, activists, the people who are going against the grain.
Mm.
Because for me, I felt like I was one of them.
Yeah.
To grow up in a very violent society, and this society was comfortable with this violence. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm questioning this violence. And mm-hmm. people are looking at me like crazy, like mm-hmm. I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you people, you're not feeling this pain? I'm feeling it. Yeah. And I'll talk about it,
yeah.
you see?
Yeah.
And I had to look for those people from such a young age. Mm-hmm. As far back as 17, I was going for protests,
yeah.
you know, in my uniform as a Form 3 kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started this work such a long time ago, getting to learn that, oh, the education I was given in my GHC, for those who studied GHC,
yeah.
wasn't enough. Mm. This history I was taught about Dedan Kimathi.
And it wasn't mine.
It also wasn't
mine. It was
mine.
In the books for me to read, but it was not my story yes. to read or yes. to know.
You know?
It was theirs.
Yeah.
Conditioning.
And when I went to church, there were so many limitations to the questions I could ask. And then I kept wondering, okay, so where are my people in all these stories? I can't see.
Where am I?
Where is Luanda Magere, man? Hey, Anyango, Atieno, they're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
So who is telling the people
yeah.
of the story?
Who's the cradle of yes. my story? Yes. Where are my people?
Yeah. Where people who are associated with my DNA?
Yes.
My ancestors, yes. where are their stories?
Yes.
You people can't tell me they don't exist.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what I want to embody. Mm. That's what I want to continue writing, singing, doing poetry, yeah. dancing about.
Yeah.
I'm continuing with the story of my DNA.
Yeah.
So the books, the literature, actually, literature saved me because the moment I discovered a language to express what I'm feeling, my liberation began there. Because for most of us, it's the language you don't have. When you don't have the language, you can't have awareness. You can't have consciousness to say, oh, you know, the same way when HIV/AIDS came here in the 80s, in Luo, for example, we didn't have a name for it.
Exactly.
But then they coined a name, and then the disease started having a consciousness in the people.
Mm-hmm.
So in Luo, AIDS is called Ayaki.
Ayaki.
Mm. You know? Ayaki didn't exist before the 80s.
Before the 80s, yeah.
It wasn't here.
Yeah.
But because the situation in the time necessitated that we develop a language for what's going on, then it made us understand this is what it is.
Yeah.
So for me, growing up in a household where my mother is being abused, my father was also abused when he was a child.
Yes.
They are both abusing me in different forms.
Exactly.
And I have nowhere to go to take this feeling I have inside my body.
And no one to run to.
Nobody to run to. I'd go to my uncles and they were like, "Ata sisi tulichapwa. Wezo ya tu. Unajua."
And then they go tell the parents, "This child came here complaining. Now they all beat you together."
And in school, it's the same thing.
Thank you. Told. You know the first.
Nyumbi last. Wezo wa kwanza na wezo wa mwisho. Ata sisi tulichapwa.
It was worse.
Yangu ilikuwa hivi na hivi.
And normalizing.
Exactly.
You see, normalizing trauma is one thing because that's us understanding, then they use that a lot to take away from us.
Yeah.
Normalizing abuse.
Yes.
It's a very huge thing.
It's really insane.
And we were talking about how even when we normalize abuse, how white people, and it's good they're talking about literature, but the colonialists were able to take away our stories. But also the fact that they emitted so much violence on us that it became so normalized that if you want to subdue a child, you want to subdue a human being, as if it's an animal, you met violence on them. And not just a spanking or a, you know, or a discipline or whatever, or a punishment. No, it's like fully subduing the beast.
Yes.
Because remember what they would do is that they would beat our fathers in front of our mothers, in front of other people to remind them, you are not to our level.
Yeah.
And the only way a parent can then do the same is to beat you the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I love that you run to books and you've been able to find sort of your, you know, your place in the books, but also you're such a great writer.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that, I don't know when you're, are you gonna?
Writing a book now.
That's the thing. I really want to know about your book.
Yeah.
Who, before we talk about the process that you're thinking of and how that's going, who dead or alive would you want them to write your foreword in your book?
Oh my gosh.
I know. Who? You didn't think about it.
I didn't think
now
about
it's like,
it.
Hold up. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's because as you think about the person is I feel we're very even when we know we've gotten out of difficult situations, we're very big with reducing ourselves.
Mm.
sometimes that imposter syndrome of, you know, I know I'll write a book, but what does Anto mean by who dead or alive?
Yeah.
I mean, that means I meet like very famous people.
Yeah.
So yes, for me, I really want to know, have you thought about a very, very famous person who can write the foreword of your book? It doesn't have to be, but you deserve someone like Oprah to say what this kid has gone through.
Yeah.
None of us has imagined it to our worst enemy.
Oh, well, if it has to be a famous person, probably somebody I feel really connected to would have to be Trevor Noah. Yeah, because Trevor understands.
I really, that title of his book, Born a Crime.
Yeah, Trevor understands.
Me, you know, let me say, this podcast is not for crying. Me, I don't cry easily by the... Me, I'm, me, I think because I was also busy as a kid.
Yeah, you get it.
I don't cry easily, but when I cry, oh my God.
It comes so
like
loud.
Like,
Trevor understands.
I don't know why you really relate to me. I don't know why. I don't want to give my stories here, but you're very relatable to
Thank
me.
Thank you.
It's very scary. But... Yeah, born a crime.
Yes, so
yeah,
Trevor,
why?
Trevor has processed what it was like growing in South African apartheid, being a mixed race child, people looking at you weird, like you're a mistake, you're a crime, you're born a crime, literally.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to exist here.
You shouldn't be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what that did to his psyche, you see, and having still growing up poor... And your mixed race.
Yeah.
You know, God. It's crazy.
It's like you have a chip on every shoulder.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And now having siblings who are black.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't belong.
And your mom, the idea that your mom, when she meets with people, just to say she's your nanny. And this is your life. Because
you're
if
being
she says
disappeared
she's your mother,
before your, you know.
Hey?
You know. Yes. Yeah. So Trevor has processed it even to understand... masculinity in a way that is freeing and to be expressive about it, Trevor would write my foreword. And actually one day, you know, because I've followed him up to, you know, when he was a host for Daily Show.
Yeah.
When I write my book, I know he's not there now, but I would love to be hosted on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of my very good friends and my life coach, she's called Alison Giboine. She's actually a very good friend, Trevor Noah.
Oh.
So you see,
that's why we met today.
That's why we met. I am going to introduce you to Alison. I want you to listen to meet and talk and get to know each other. But my reason, when I call her, I will tell her that I want you to help Ricks to get his book forwarded by Trevor Noah. But first, understand who Ricks is and know why. But the onus is upon her to make it happen.
Oh man, that would be so beautiful.
I think that would be really, really, really beautiful.
Oh, man.
Your story, you've gone through so much. You've really struggled. You've been able to put your stories out there. A lot of people are unable to put theirs out. And I think that's why also people fear you.
Yes.
And they end up, you know, sort of not understanding you.
Yeah.
Because the strength and the power that you have, and still be able to stay humble and just chill. And I mean, you're one of the easiest people that I called, you know, to do a podcast. I've seen you're very available for people.
I try, yeah.
You're also available to teach.
Yes.
Whilst you're learning a lot from the writers of our generation and generations gone and past.
Yeah.
When, as you go forward and as you, and let's talk about two things here. As you redefine what masculinity is in the sense of not what they told you so you could fit in or so they could control you, but being yourself. As you redefine that journey for yourself and moving forward, where do you see yourself in 3 days, in 4 days, in 4 years, in 5 years? And where do you want this new journey to take you? Because for me, I feel like you're now, you're a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You're now in the phase of, you know, finding myself, I'll break glass just to see, you know. I will jump on the TV.
Yeah.
So from now, you're a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So you don't know what happened in the world.
Yeah.
You're fresh off the oven, literally. So where do you see your teenagehood as you redefine what masculinity is and what it means to be a man?
And this is going to happen. This is... I'm going to be a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I already am in small aspects,
mm-hmm.
but this voice, because, you know, I mean, I've done a couple of stories with, for example, the BBC, like yes. the one you watched, and
yes.
there's others as
yes.
well.
The one that had me like Riggs, yeah. how are you still alive after everything you've gone through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about some sexual abuse that I went through as a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the BBC did that story. They translated it into many other languages.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and so many... Because, you know, like when they translate, they air it in their BBC outlets
exactly.
all over the world.
Exactly, yeah.
I get messages from men all over the world.
Yeah.
Telling me, fam, I can't even talk about this in my culture.
Mm.
You're so strong. You're so brave.
Yeah.
Da, 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 you know? And it makes me see how it's the global man that is yeah. in shit. It's not just black men.
Mm.
It's the global man. And yeah. you see...
We're drowning in this shit.
We are drowning in this
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
And we are hidden in our race
yeah.
and the problems of yeah. our families yeah. and our cultures and our yeah. traumas.
Yeah.
But the story is the same.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who we are
mm-hmm.
because of these binary lenses of who men ought to be, mm-hmm. especially heterosexual men
mm.
ought to be.
Mm.
And then I realized, Anto, we've been lied to about so many things regarding our identity.
Yeah.
So in the world as we know it, you are told, oh, there's only a man and a woman,
mm-hmm.
period.
Period, yeah.
And that's how love ought to be, mm-hmm. a family ought to be, mm-hmm. children come out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the natural world, everything has variants.
Yeah.
In the natural world, yeah. trees have, when you go into a forest,
exactly.
there's no single forest that has just one type of trees.
I mean, guys, a male baboon just give birth, guys.
Man. You know what I mean?
I mean, they were like, what is happening? And was suckling the baby. They were like, guys,
what's going on?
Like, this baboon has been doof as a male baboon
exactly.
all our lives.
Exactly.
Things that,
so
yeah.
we exist in variants. Nature, we are nature. We are
mm-hmm.
not at the outside it.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings, we are nature.
Yes.
So trees are nature. Everything out there,
yes.
animals have variants.
Mm-hmm.
And so do human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who will exist on this one end of what we understand as masculine
mm-hmm.
in the, like, social acceptable as masculine today.
Yes, yes.
And there will be people who will be on this other extreme end of social acceptable who are feminine.
Yes.
But then just as a rainbow, there's going to be everybody else in between here.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
Exactly.
So in the middle, there are intersex people. There are around 47 variations of intersex people.
Mm-hmm.
So kuna wase, mse anaka kama chali
yeah.
but akona boobs.
Yes.
Kuna mtu anaka kama dim
yes.
but akona ndevu.
Yes.
You've
and born that way.
Yeah, and born that way.
Yeah.
It's nothing out of this world, sijui nini.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
And it's only recently that we're able to, for example, recognize them in the
in
the census
as people can,
and
yeah.
the constitution and including the birth certificate.
Yes.
But imagine what they had to go through. You see, now
yes.
you are using the digital space
yes,
to tell
yes.
them this. I am not even one of them.
Yeah.
I don't even have to talk about them.
Yes.
I don't have to fight for them.
Yes.
But guys, they exist.
Yeah.
I am just literally amplifying who
yeah.
you guys are busy
yeah.
beating every
and
single
their
day.
And their existence does not depend on you accepting them.
Yes.
No, it's just the way you can't deny a tree exists. It's,
yes.
it's there.
Yes.
The tree is there.
Yes. Yes.
So where kusemandio amala does not do anything
yeah.
to that existence.
Your ignorance is not the extinction.
Exactly.
They
That's
will
the
continue
thing.
To exist.
Yeah.
So the least you can do is embrace,
yeah.
understand, and love.
Yeah.
So continue.
Exactly.
We exist in variances.
So as I move forward.
Yeah.
In my growing,
yeah,
my message to the earth continues to solidify in this manner.
Yeah,
that for us to achieve the joy we were born with,
yes,
because I believe we were born with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy was with us.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was taken away from us. Because I remember
yeah.
somebody at some panel last year asking me, when did you start loving yourself?
That's deep.
And I told them, I've always loved myself.
Yeah.
Me running away from home because I can't take chaos.
Is loving myself.
I was loving myself.
Mm.
But those people were beating me out of it.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
That's deep.
You were taught to hate yourself. Mm-hmm. You weren't born hating yourself. That's true. Come on, fam.
We are literally taught to hate.
Yeah.
are born with
the
love.
The fact that if you grow up, you're a kid, you want to play around all of that, doing, expressing yourself, being curious, all of that is part of joy.
Yeah.
You've always had it.
There's a friend of mine. She's a podcast. She's called Jola. We call her Jols. And she was saying in her podcast, called I Say What I Said, she was saying she went to a school to speak to kids in her former primary school.
Yeah.
And she was like, she was really trying to tell them the truth. But you know, in school, you don't want, that's a thing, you don't want to tell them the truth. She wanted to tell them, guys, play.
Yeah.
Please play. Be children, laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh. Leave.
Yes.
Because you don't understand. When you get older, you say, I wish I played. I wish I laughed. Because the whole world now decides to just hate you.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, you know, if I played when I was a kid, these things I'd not be doing, including things like when people now go for Tufumpararo.
Yeah.
They're now paying for it.
Oh, man, imagine.
Now people are paying to go with, you know, with boxers, Banner, with bikers, to go and swim in mud.
Yes.
When we played as, it was normal. You cough and you're in a Tufumpararo.
Yeah.
So I love that you're saying it's, but it's also, you see, you say, someone asked you, when did you start loving yourself like this? Mm. But also I will ask you, how do we start loving ourselves?
Mm.
When do we get to a place of like, hey, I've listened to Ricks, but I have so much work to do on myself or people around me. How can I start loving myself?
The biggest work all of us have, at some point you have to make a decision. Do you want to live your life or the life that has been destined for you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that at some point. Mm-hmm. You have to come home to yourself, mm-hmm, call yourself for a meeting, mm-hmm, and ask me as Anto, me as Jeff, nataka kuishiaje, venye masango anataka, venye church wanataka, venye politicians wanataka, ama venye mimi nataka, na venye mimi nataka inakaaje, ni rules gani nataka kuishi nazo zenye zitaongeza life kwa. Unacheki. Your conversation baka you have, because that's what will determine your course of action.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Love has to begin from your choices.
Yeah.
Like, taking your power back means you have to understand what happened to you.
Yeah.
How it affected you.
Yeah.
How you're going to unlearn it,
mm-hmm,
so that you replace it with more of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds so big to start with. And so I'll go back to what Jols was saying.
Yes.
Our playtime was interrupted. Because you remember when we were growing up, at some point walianza kupunguza time ya PE.
Yes.
Shule.
Yeah, it used to be like two lessons, like 1 hour 20 minutes. Then it became 40 minutes.
Bas.
Then every time you have PE, a teacher who did not do their job now wants you.
Bas. That's where the rain started
to do math during PE time.
Exactly.
That's make you hate math more.
Apo ndo pale mvua ilianza kutucha.
Oh God, I used to be so mad.
So now, I know.
Why are you reminding me of my past? I used to be so angry. I don't understand. I feel like I forgot this in therapy. People not taking my time seriously. And especially people with power.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't take it away.
You can't.
And I can't say anything.
Exactly.
God.
That's where it has to go back to.
Yeah.
Take back your PE time.
Oh my, yes.
You have to go back there and
that
continue.
Such a nice program, by the way. You need to make money with that. Like go to high schools, go to organizations, and tell them, guys, it's time to take back our PE time.
Let's take back our PE.
We all have 40 minutes they owe us.
And on a very serious note, we have to go back to playing.
Yeah.
Because it's in our bodies carry our stories, all right? So your nervous system is actually where all your life is at.
Yeah.
The information in your nervous system depicts your personality, it depicts how you think, it depicts how you react, how you respond to love and hate and all these things, violence and all that stuff. And the nervous system is like electrical wires, you know? So right now, I can feel you have good energy, all right?
Mm.
So my body can sense you're safe for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my nervous system telling me, you can talk to this person.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we were growing up in those communities in villages, think about it like a grid, right? An electrical grid.
Mm-hmm.
So when a city is connected, it lights up because it is well connected.
Mm, my God.
All right? And yeah. people are just the same.
Yeah.
When you are connected, you light up.
Yes.
That's just the way it is.
Yes.
When you're disconnected, mm-hmm. kuna blackout kila pahali. Mm. And blackout comes with crime.
Exactly.
It comes with violence.
Fear.
Yeah,
displacement. Sabotage, I mean, everything all is taken away from you.
Blackout inakuja na hizo stuff.
Yeah.
So, for us to be reconnected to the grid,
yeah.
we have to go back to playing. Because playing loosens our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Then we learn to trust again.
Yeah.
First of all, to trust your body,
yeah.
to trust yourself that, oh, I can move, I can do this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And playing, you know when you were kids, wakati, you would play with anybody. You didn't, like kids are very weird. Like, you can play with anybody.
Yeah.
Una come, I don't want to trust you, I don't want to know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
As long as I can sense that
exactly,
you're good people.
Yeah.
Kuja.
Even if kids moved, like, I mean, until you get older, they realize, my friends, I don't have my friends.
And all
but
that,
even if kids moved in different countries, different estates, they always found playmates.
They always did.
We're the ones who stop them and tell them, nisikuone kwa kina
Ritz.
When you get older, you realize, it was a tribe thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was a racial thing.
Mm.
Or it was a color thing. You know, maybe they are too dark for us. I shouldn't see you there.
Mm.
But I like that, Rix. You are such a beacon of light. I don't know how where you get the strength after everything you've gone through. You are so... I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you get your strength, your love, and everything. But please never stop being you.
I won't.
It's ridiculous how you still able
look
to...
Look forward to another video very soon.
Yeah.
I'm always just going to be...
Me, like, let me tell you. Yeah, I want you to dance again. But we're gonna put a video of this guy dancing so you understand why he loves
now
dancing.
Now your part in a shake ass.
Yeah, we're gonna put the video where he's shaking his booty. But even before we end, there's something I was about to forget that I've remembered.
Mm.
When girls come to your home, or when even friends or whatever, when relatives come over and there's female relatives or there's girls, or you always have pads in your house.
Yeah,
I know a lot of. I do okay. Maybe it's because it's me. Me, I'm not surprised or shocked.
Yeah.
I don't know why people get shocked by these things. Because like, there's a dude who said at some men's conference he was sent by the wife to go buy pads.
Mm.
And I mean, for him, he's trying to really get close to a point where you know when you tell your women, oh, babe, me send me, I will go. Me, I want to be there for you. And then she sends you for pads. Guy, you're like, babe, I didn't mean to be go the whole way. So the guy said, I'll go.
Yeah.
So he went. And he went and picked Pampers.
Mm.
Picked Pampers and took the Pampers home.
Very courageous.
So the wife tells him, baby, he's the part. He's like, baby, just so pa. So I just so pa. I was
like,
it's part. Went and took the Pampers and took them home. The chick is like, even, they're not even for adults.
Yeah.
So even, you're not even helping us. And also, so he was like, I'm going to take you to the supermarket and I'm going to show you. And I want you to carry it because you have a daughter.
Yes.
I want you to be able to carry this. And in the same breath, there is another parent also who the wife died way before and he now has like a daughter who's, you know, now in puberty.
Mm.
And he taught himself to buy from a convenience store or a supermarket and put it in the basket and walk with it.
Yep.
Because this is, I don't know why we are normalized normal things.
Yeah.
Our mothers, our sisters, they have all had their periods.
Yeah.
Why do you do it? And why do people get so surprised or shocked, including women, that you would have pads in your house if they have, let's say, that day. The moon decides today is the day.
Yeah.
Why is it shocking?
One thing is... I myself have grown up in so much shame. Shame is at the center of all this conversation.
Mm.
Shame. Shame to express yourself. Shame to just be okay with who you are.
Yeah.
Shame to admit that periods are happening. Shame to admit that you're having sex.
Mm.
Shame to admit that you left the church. Shame to admit that you actually hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to take accountability. So much shame.
Shame to admit that you are hurt. As
that you're also hurt.
As if it's your
burden to carry. I mean?
No,
like,
let me
let you go. Tuambie hizo. Hata sisi tumepitia.
No, you every time we meet you, you're always talking about why not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So shame is at the center of this conversation. Then there's the part where women were silenced so much growing up, even in our homes. I never ever knew one day that my mother was going through her periods. Mm. Not a single day did I ever notice or know. In fact, nakumbuka tu niki, because I was a curious kid. Yeah. Mimi kongatu uko kwa bedroom yao, mimi naenda.
Yeah.
Napatana na pads uko ivoza always, because they always buy always those
just,
years.
Yeah, you don't probably you know what that is. Yeah.
Well, I was watching always on the TV adverts and the girls dancing around, so I had an understanding, but you don't know all the information.
Yeah.
But I never one day did I know, oh, mom has cramps or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So many men especially never noticed that their mothers going through.
Mm.
So then when it was time for even girls getting some kind of, the little education they had in some schools, they were separated from the boys.
Always. They'd come back with, they had to go with sweaters.
Yeah.
They'd come back, they were hiding the pads and stuff.
So if you go back there, that's how the miseducation began, you know? So already, you've been taught in your psyche, this thing is supposed to be hidden. Both men know that and women also see. Mm. They also now practice. Mm-hmm. Hide.
Mm.
But you see, it's not just hiding the pads. It's also hiding yourself.
Yeah.
You're also hiding.
Yeah.
If you see it
exactly,
in the larger context.
Yeah. Because this is makes up exactly who you are.
Yeah.
So if I'm coming to your house, if it, whether it's a sleepover or a chipsfunga or whatever, this is a full package.
It's there.
This is me.
Like itokea unahepa wapi.
Exactly. What am I supposed to do?
The blood is there.
Thank you.
You know.
Yeah.
So one time I was meeting a chick, we were sleeping together, and she had, I didn't know by that time that there was something called irregular periods. So it's midnight and periods out dem to zilikam. Saa sita usiku, bro. Nikasema wow, ntafanyaje? Mi nikatoka nikaenda ku buy pads. I had never bought pads in my life ever. You know? So nimefika hivi shop, nimeitisha pads, mazee shopkeeper ananiangalia hivi mazee.
Like he wants to call people.
Jama.
There's a guy here at midnight asking for pads.
Like,
what is happening?
Yani macho za mse ajaini sawa. I swear to God. So alafu akaificha kwa gazeti. Nani usiko utakuna mse anaona.
Oh my God.
So already I'm feeling weird because it's my first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pia na, so it's so awkward.
Yeah, he's like, I shouldn't sell this to him. And even if I do it, does he know what it's for? Yeah.
So I go back and of course, you know, I help out with the pads and everything. But then nikajiambia staki kushiko unawares tena ever.
Ever.
You know?
Yeah.
Because to me then I realized, oh man, like this can actually happen anytime, anywhere, to anybody who is menstruating.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, ah, see, but yeah, just start stalking them just in case. Because I mean. But the other thing is, my mother was, still is, a very caring person.
Mm.
My mother treated guests and strangers so warmly.
Wow.
So kindly.
Wow.
And I picked that from my mom.
Mm.
So for me, the conversation goes beyond periods. Because even when my boys come home, me na making sure towels ziko enough wase waneza oga, wakiwa mtaa.
Mm-hmm.
Kuna food wasa waneza manga.
Mm-hmm.
Kuna toothbrushes wasa waneza tumia.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of people who come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I jalishi when it chali ya madem, you know?
Yeah.
This part about the pads, there's a lot of period shame in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine told me, even women had been conditioned to hide this thing. And then here comes Rick's just openly talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, them, they know this thing is for hiding. So any guy who has this in his house has to be a suspicious dude.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
In our conversations, in our relationships, care has been taken away from us so much
that
we can't imagine it existing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like me just, you being taken care of is a foreign concept.
Exactly. You must be wanting something.
Yeah.
Jukila there siku, must be a problem.
Eh, unaona? Jukila siku kila mali unaenda anto unatukanwa.
Yeah.
Gavai na kutukana.
Yeah. You're in a relationship,
unatukanwa.
Yeah. Your parents,
wako alikutukana,
your colleagues,
colleagues wako
the conductor, I mean everybody.
Kila mtu anakutreat cut
your trash. Mobile company is reminding you, top up you. You've used 800 MBs. Like, but it's like everyone, like it's you need just, more.
They need to, you know,
the
taking,
CRB,
exactly.
Pay your money, the SACO.
Everybody's taking.
My God,
everybody's
and
taking.
Insulting you, reminding you.
Yes.
And if they don't insult you, now the Ricks, you know Anthony Mwangi. He's not paid our money. So they now insult you through other friends. Like reminding you, we will insult you
exactly
through corners and directly.
So care has been so foreign, but I always go back to that home I grew up with, watching my mother and how she treated people and also how she treats kids, especially when she's around children. And I took that with me. It's always with me. I'm not a perfect person. In fact, yesterday I wrote on my Instagram lives and on a newsletter that I have that sometimes I think about the people I hurt, the people I harmed. Sometimes I walk with that shame, wanting to do better by them because I was emotionally dysregulated and I take accountability for that. And some I feel horrible that there are people who have blocked me because they don't hear anything about me or from me. You know what I mean? I don't present myself as a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person. In any case, that is why I really advocate for us to exist in communities, because in community you don't have to be 100%.
Yeah.
You are a contributor.
Yeah.
You're not the parent. You're not the mother hen. You're not, you're just, you're a part of a circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because in my home, I had to do so much to exist, to be seen and all that.
Yeah.
I never want anybody to feel they have to overextend themselves. For them to feel
stretch themselves, out. Just
I want you when you're around me and talk, you feel calm, you feel homely, you feel accepted,
yourself,
you feel like yourself. Like I want you to share your mind with me and say, hey, Bede Ricks, this is who I am. You know, let's talk about stuff and stuff.
Yeah,
because for the longest time, that's also what I wanted, and still, that's what I still want. You see, so. Having pads at home is just an element of very basic care to me. It's just the same way as having toothpaste in the
house
that somebody will need to brush their teeth.
Thank you for being the switch that lights up this grid.
Yeah.
I literally know the title of this podcast, of this episode. Miseducation of Rick's Poet.
I love it.
It's the miseducation of Rick's Poet. Because it's a double entendre. It could mean that you don't know what you're talking about. But also, for me, what it really means is you finally get to teach us what it means to be you.
Yes.
So now you never have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
Say, by the way, if you listen to a Joseph podcast, screw you. Go listen to the podcast and stop asking me stupid questions. I have explained myself. Every single time. And I'm not a therapist, but just to tell you that in terms of your guilt, I hope that you're not carrying shame of how you reacted other than how you hurt people. Because you might be carrying shame of how saying that you hurt people, you harm them in your behavior, well, really you are reacting to a circumstance, to a situation, to again to your nervous system saying, I have boundaries, I will not accept, do not disrespect me, and probably use the wrong words, and you've carried it all your life, while what you are really doing is setting your boundaries.
Yes.
So be careful not to give people that power, when really, if you did not in that moment do what you had to do or say what you had to say, you would continue again to explain yourself and to carry their heart and to carry people's pain and people's shouldering people's pain. I mean, I know this. I think that's why you're relatable. And people really have to see you and see themselves and embrace themselves rather than see you, see themselves and think that by hurting you, they're running away from who they are.
Yes.
So please dance. Rick's, I just want you to dance. This is just dance.
I have to dance.
And this is Rick's dancing, guys. There. Thank you so much for that enlightening and just bold conversation that you sat through. I mean, this is something else. If you'd like to also share your stories, make sure you go to our Instagram at Unlock Your Soul Pod. Click the link in the bio, fill that form and tell us what stories you think you'd like us to highlight. And definitely, I will definitely come through for you. Also, go to our TikTok at Unlock Your Soul Podcast. We can have some fun together there. And also subscribe on YouTube at Unlock Your Soul Podcast. Next week, we will be talking about single motherhood and the family ties that bind, no matter what. It's all about the one and only Chemutai, the beautiful, the vivacious Sage. You're just say, Gianni, you're a superstar in my eyes and in many people's eyes. How do you keep this fire going, Sage?
I think I have a hunger and a thirst for life.
Yeah.
And just exploring life. Like the way I said, I always wanted to know more. Yeah. I always wanted to see more.
Yeah.
To feel more. Yeah. To just experience more. And I feel like also you sort of become what you have been fed in your life. And I feel like for me, it's been a lot of love and it's been a lot of just curiosity. I was allowed to be curious. That curiosity has...